Following our June 13th, 2024, police civilian oversight board meeting to action here. Sorry, I'm looking for the script. Welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you're able to, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Please use the raised hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all members of the body will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name that you've entered in Zoom must match the name that you entered in your registration. You'll remain muted until called upon. Staff will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it via the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be shut off. Jennifer, would you please take roll call?
Yes, prior to that, I would just like to let you know I'm going to leave my camera on and my speaker unmuted since we have Rachel on my cell phone.
Okay, thank you.
Shadera Kilfoy Flores.
Present.
Jalen Stieber.
Present.
Keetra Burnett. Joshua Hargrove. Rachel Kincaid.
Present.
Rodney Saunders Jr.
Present.
Yesenia Villalpando Torres.
Present.
Carlotta Calmes. Michelle Miller.
Present.
We only have one person registered under public comment, and that's Kathleen Fullen from the League of Women Voters. She does not wish to speak. She's just in support of public comment.
Okay, thank you. And then if somebody would please, oh, we are not approving minutes today. Never mind. Any disclosures and recusals? Seeing no hands raised. We have a draft amendment to our ordinance regarding access to OIM records and PCOB authority in the absence of the independent monitor. Jennifer, would you mind bringing that document up?
Should be available.
Oop. Sorry, I was trying to make it bigger so I could see it.
I don't think I can go much bigger without not seeing everything.
Okay, so this is a requested change in our ordinance. It's a resolution to add power to grant power in the absence of the IM to the board and to the chair, so that part one says records access in case there is something that the say that the IM was working on, but the IM is now gone, and now we're, you know, it's just the board. Number one is about having access to records. If you'll keep going down, Jennifer, I just want to go over this really quick so people understand what it is. So these are, go back. You can go back up a little, Jennifer. Sorry. The first page. There. So part one is having access to records. Part two would be to appoint and supervise the independent monitor. I think we already have that power, but what how it is amended or changed, if you'll go down a little further, Jennifer, to the A. It says here, in the event of a leave of absence or other leave of the monitor exceeding 30 days, or in the event of a vacancy in the position, that the board shall have the power to take actions and complete duties reserved to the monitor. If you'll scroll down a little more, Jennifer. And or the OIM, and it may delegate such actions or duties to the board chair or its executive committee. Such actions and duties shall revert to the monitor or OIM immediately upon their return from leave or appointment of a new monitor. When completing such actions and duties instead of the monitor. So if you'll go down then, Jennifer, to the next part. Huh. There was, do you know, Mike, there was, I thought there was more to this than. The draft that I had gone over with Andrew seemed to have a lot more language than just this.
I don't recall seeing anything more. I don't know if it was a different draft. Was there something else you thought you expected to be in there?
Yeah, there was language not only about the board and the chair being able to make some of decisions in the absence of the monitor. It also had language in there about there was also language that was about I'm sorry, guys. I'm drawing a total blank here. Giving the board authority, but then there was also something in there about the conversation that we just had about. Sorry, I'm going to look in my email quick because there was a different draft that we had discussed originally. This is not the draft. So I'm not prepared to talk about this because
I just looked at Yeah, I was just looking at Andy's email when he circulated or sent it, and this is the only version I've seen. I don't know if there's another version.
Chair, I am. Robin has their hand up.
Oh, go ahead if you would, Robin.
I think what you're looking for is actually it's there in two, but it's not explicit. It's where it states that the board shall have yeah, if you can scroll down a little bit. It's on the next page. Yeah. So it's that part right at the very beginning, and or the OIM in NGO 5.19.7. So like board is taking on all the powers and duties listed in 5.19.7, which is a list of all the powers and duties of the IM. So it's there, but it's just kind of buried in a citation.
Okay.
I
I
also
think
have
that.
some recommendations, but I'm willing to let the board talk about this first.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was that the changes. Oh, it was also the record sharing that what we had discussed possibly instead becoming a policy as opposed to being part of the ordinance was that records that are created for the Office of the Independent Monitor go into the shared city file. So maybe that
That's
was the
the first
part where I
part.
was like, wait, no, there was something in there that was about the records.
Yeah, that's in the
That I
first
thought
part.
had been also okay.
That's the new
Gotcha.
section that would
All
be
right.
created, right? Under records access.
Yes, that was it was the D. That was what it was. It was the D part. I'm sorry, that's where I was confused. So Alder Figueroa Cole had a really good point that perhaps the having using the shared city drive just become a policy that we adopt. We kind of have started that with our attendance policy. So this seems like maybe this is a policy that the board create rather than it necessarily have to be part of our ordinance. So I think that Figueroa Cole brought up a really good point that we don't necessarily have to change our ordinance, but instead just adopt a policy that we do that. However, it does make sense to leave the part in the event of leave of absence or when we don't have an IM that that we'd be able to make hiring decisions in that absence. And it also made sense to be able to say for continuation on an investigation, we may need, say, the leadership, whether the chair, vice chair, in order to continue with those complainants. But hopefully we would have our administrative assistant would be able to do that. But it seems as though it's really important we've found out in order to be able to continue the work doing that. And so in a policy that we can adopt and try and if we are in that event, then perhaps the board would adopt that policy as opposed to it becoming part of the ordinance. I didn't know there was that option because I would have asked the board to take that motion or to take that so that we could continue in the hiring of our administrative assistant while in Robin's absence. And so kind of you don't know what you don't know. And I didn't know that we could, as a board, vote on a policy to give ourselves that authority. I thought that that authority would need to be in the ordinance. So could you help a little more explain that more, Mike? Am I doing okay?
Yeah, I think that it is an option, and to at least start out with changes in the policy, I think that's especially, to me, I think that that's more doable when you have a monitor in place, that and if the board and the monitor are on the same page about how authority is going to be shared. I might have had more reservations about doing that if the board adopted that type of policy without an independent monitor being in place, or working or not being on leave. I think that might have been problematic.
Would you scroll down again, Jennifer? The A and part D, or what spills over to the other page? So that was all. We were looking for sponsors when I was under the impression that this needed to become part of our ordinance. And so I was just explaining to Mike how, unfortunately, I want to make sure that when we have a disaster, that our bases are covered. And so not knowing at the time when I, 3 weeks ago, when we didn't know when Robin would be coming back, that I thought, okay, I was in disaster mode thinking, what if Robin is unable to make it back, so that's kind of where I was coming from, everyone. So we don't necessarily have to take any action on this right now. We can look at our policy and procedure committee can get to get that looks great. And we can adopt a policy, it sounds like, with regarding both of these. So I really want to thank Alder Figueroa Cole for her guidance in saying, hey, I don't think these things need to come to Common Council immediately. So I just wanted for everyone to be on the same page, because I feel like sometimes the blind leading the blind here. So do you have any questions or input from board members? Jasenia?
Just to confirm, so this is going to go back to the subcommittee for policies and procedures then?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
If the executive subcommittee says, hey, why don't we take a vote on this at the next, let's have a discussion and then take action on this at the next meeting, we could potentially do that. We could potentially, take action and not necessarily have to bounce it back to policy and procedure. We could take, I think, action and say, let's adopt these policies. Correct, Mike?
Well, I mean, I think if it's a policy, I mean, ultimately the board would have to adopt a policy. The executive subcommittee could recommend a policy to the board.
Okay. So that's a yes. Thank you. Any other questions or input? Robin?
Actually, yeah, I think that this is a perfect thing to discuss at the policy and procedure subcommittee. And speaking of which, since I'm just curious if there was like any other changes to the calendar because I had listed that the policy and procedure subcommittee was actually supposed to meet today. But if we're doing the full board meeting now, would the next policy and procedure subcommittee be on the 27th?
Correct.
Okay. Then in time for that, I've actually had a little bit of time to go over the draft ordinance, and I think I understand what we need. So I plan to like draft up a continuance of operation like policy that I can bring to the subcommittee. But as far as like where we might run into like the issue of we might need to change the ordinance, I think that we can achieve a lot of what we want just through internal policy. And the remainders, I was thinking the ability of the board to hire a limited term employee to fill the role of the monitor, just because it's a big job, and I don't think it's fair to thrust a 40-hour work week on someone unpaid. But I've got several ideas, and I can get those drafted up before the PMP subcommittee.
Okay, that sounds great. Michelle, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, I think so. My understanding was that so I had to cancel the policy and procedure subcommittee last week for my own reasons, but my
Yes.
understanding is this is a special session, and then the 27th is a full board meeting. So the next policy and procedure meeting is whatever was scheduled around the 4th.
You are correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that. And then our next, anybody else? Okay, well,
Yeah, I
agenda
just
item number.
wanted to
Yes.
confirm. I have it on my calendar here, July 11th, as the next PMP subcommittee. But I don't know. I've been gone for 3 months, and stuff might have changed.
That makes sense because July 4th is a holiday, so then we'd use the floating meeting instead. July 11th, my bad.
That's what I have as well, is the 11th. Thank you, Michelle, keeping us on the ball here. Agenda item number 3 is our request for attorneys to represent individuals before the PFC. If you wouldn't mind opening that up, Jennifer. So this is the draft that Attorney Schauer created to be able to do attorney recruitment for our list. I'll go ahead and read it. The Police Civilian Oversight Board, in conjunction with the OIM, is now accepting applications for attorneys in the Madison area who will be available to represent aggrieved individuals in matters against the City of Madison police officers in front of the City of Madison PFC. These attorneys will populate the PCOB's complaint representation attorneys list in accordance with our ordinance. I'm not going to read all the numbers. The list shall include attorneys that have one experience, the experience required to handle cases in front of the PFC, two, charge a reasonable hourly rate the PCOB has determined after a review of attorney hourly rates in the area, that such rate shall not exceed $200 per hour. To be clear, any complaint in action in front of the PFC may retain the legal counsel of their choice for such representation at their own cost. However, once an attorney is added to the list by the PCOB, they will qualify for appointment by the OIM to represent aggrieved individuals in presenting and litigating complaints that have first been vetted by the OIMs. Would you scroll down, Jennifer? Complaint process after the OIM's investigation. The independent monitor will determine if the complaint has arguable merit. If the IM so concludes, the complainant is eligible to select an attorney from the list. The OIM will appoint such attorney to the complaint. Upon such appointment, the City of Madison will pay up to $15,000 of the attorney's fees per complaint. All additional fees or costs associated with such representation will remain the responsibility of the complainant. In order to qualify for inclusion onto this list, the PCOB asks attorneys to fill out the application below and accompany this application with a resume or CV providing the attorney's relevant work experience, a cover letter detailing the attorney's skills and expertise in the areas of civil rights, administrative law, and or hearings in front of boards, commissions, and arbitrators, along with three references from the legal community and or community organizations who support their application. During their review of application, members of the PCOB may contact the applicant attorney to ask questions about the materials provided. If you are interested, please complete the below application and staff of the OIM and PCOB will contact you in due course regarding the status of your appointment to the PCOB attorney list. Thank you for your service to our community in this capacity. So this will help us create not only a list, but also a database where we can keep this information about the attorneys. So any questions, any input? Sorry, I was looking for the participant list here. Rachel, go ahead.
I was just going to say that it looks really good. And that, yeah, I just, because it's so quiet and it really is a good document. So thank you.
I really like it as well. All we're looking for, then if people are in agreement, is I'm looking for a motion that we adopt this application. Rachel?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Yesenia?
I'll second the motion.
And then, Rachel, I think you might have to say the motion.
Okay, so the motion is to make this a working document, correct?
Yes.
That we will use in the PCOB.
Thank
and make
you
that
for
motion.
Clarifying.
Okay.
Thank you for your clarification. And now we can set it out. Actually, I'd like to hear from Robin. Robin, did you, since you haven't been part of this process?
Yeah, sure. I was actually really excited to see that there was movement on this one in particular. I do know personally of one attorney that is interested and has, you know, been biting at the bit in order to apply. And I figure that once, you know, we send this out around, like through the Bar Association, it'll trickle to all of the attorneys that I think would be interested. But I'm going to try and see if I can't find some other like outreach capacities that I could assist the board with.
Oh, that would be great. Hi, Carlotta. Go ahead.
Hi. Sorry I'm late. I do have just a clarifying question. When
yes, please.
A constituent might need the services of one of the approved attorneys on the list, does the constituent get the choice to pick the attorney he or she might want or they may want?
They do.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it's in entirely up to the complainant who they want to represent them from our appointed list if they're looking for, if that attorney is looking to be compensated. I mean, certainly if they have an attorney that's willing to represent them for free and they don't want to choose an attorney from our list, or if they want to pay out of pocket, complainants are welcome to do that. But certainly this is something that we're, you know, going to be providing to the community.
Another clarified question.
I see Alder Figueroa Cole here.
Oh, I'm not saying it. Yes, another clarifying question.
Go ahead.
Is there a process for when the constituents may decide that I'm not satisfied with the attorney I have and I want another one? I no longer want to use the attorney that I started off with.
I don't have an answer to that. Go ahead, Robin.
No, that's actually a great point. I think that that can be solved through our own internal office policy, and set up a route for that, so that essentially, like, we can, you know, it's always going to be up to the complainant to, if, you know, they're seeking legal representation and, you know, they have their free pick of the list. And I think, you know, just ethically, if they have a concern with their attorney and they want another one from the list, we could do that. We'll just have to adopt a policy on it, because it does involve, you know, the flow of money. And then one other,
but
never mind,
but,
I'm blanking but, on the other thing.
But the question is that, does the sec, is it the total 15,000 cap? That's going to be no matter whether you have one attorney or three attorneys, correct?
Yeah, I think that's how I'm reading it. But I mean,
okay,
we can also, you know, decide.
I wasn't
this
quite
in the
sure
PMP
of that
subcommittee as well, and bring that to the board.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. To clarify, a complainant would only qualify for it up to a maximum of 15,000, regardless if it was one attorney or five attorneys. That seems to be the max that the PCOB could help with. Go ahead, Attorney Haas.
Thanks. I was just double checking the ordinance, and that's correct. It's $15,000 per complaint. So not, you know, per attorney or a series of attorneys, but, and just to nail down, I think it is pretty clear under both the ordinance and, you know, our rules as attorneys, the attorney would be representing that individual. So if that individual no longer wants to have that attorney, you know, ethically, that attorney cannot represent that individual. They would have the ability to essentially fire that attorney and, you know, seek funds to hire another attorney, as long as it's up to $15,000.
Thank you, Attorney Haas. And now thank you so much, Alder, for waiting. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think my questions were answered. I wasn't sure if what you guys were passing was to create a list or to establish a process, but it sounds like the process is already on the ordinance. So is that accurate, Attorney Haas? Does the process already exist, or does the process committee need to create a process around these policy?
The ordinance essentially states that the board is to create a list. An individual can, that the independent monitor appoints the attorney, but the individual, you know, gets to choose from the list, and it's up to $15,000 per complaint. That's really the extent of what's spelled out in the ordinance. There may be some holes to fill in, but I think that's really something the monitor can do, you know, having to do with communication with the attorney. You know, and as Robin was saying, you know, how do we, who do we reach out to solicit attorneys, things like that. But I think they're, the ordinance spells out sort of the basic process for how a complainant would get an attorney.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I just wanted to clarify because the questions were very good, but it seems like we're lacking like that, like maybe that application form that we need to tell people what they're getting into and what they're getting on exchange of their money.
And I would simply say, because this is in the ordinance, it's a function of the independent mm-hmm. monitor to appoint this, that, the independent monitor can come up with those procedures on their own without necessarily having to have those approved by the board.
Got it. Thank you.
Carlotta, would you mind muting yourself? And Attorney Hargrove, please unmute yourself.
Good evening. I just had a question about the what would the references be for? I guess that's what I was asking for. If because these are the attorneys, we're checking the qualifications to see if they merit being placed on a list to possibly be selected to represent people in these matters. Right. I was just wondering what the reference letters would speak to, more of their experience or what exactly? Because my only concern is not to make it yes. too tedious to where we could possibly lose attorneys. Just to put it in context, I know there are a number of like if you have to be appointed to represent people through the county or federal appointments, I know there's a similar process. But I usually don't see reference letters to be added to the list. So that's all I was inquiring about.
I think reference letters in case a complainant, asks for them, that way each attorney wouldn't have to we wouldn't have to make a complainant wait, say, for those references. We would all already have those references in-house. Say if a complainant says, hey, I'd really like to know, what their references look like or, what people have to say about these different attorneys. I think that was the thought process behind that. And I do understand that it would potentially take a little more work for attorneys, but I think it would also give the complainants a little better window into what that attorney's references or kind of what their background is in. So do you feel that it should be removed, Attorney Hargrove? Because
I mean, candidly, I probably wouldn't have it in there just because it's for a list of people. It's not necessarily for a specific position or appointment. And I didn't know if the in-house process was going to be maybe talking to each person on the list or the OIM being able to have an additional conversation. My only fear is if it's too arduous, will we lose a number of attorneys? And just as someone that's done appointments through the county, federal, and through the FPD, it was just newer for me. So I'm not against it. I wouldn't include it, but I wouldn't say I'm anti having the references. I just didn't want an additional roadblock that could lose a number of very great attorneys that might see that this is too much if it's just to be on a list where you could potentially be selected, where we're just checking your certifications and qualifications to actually do the work, should you be chosen. But no, so to answer it in short, sorry, I'm not saying no. I probably wouldn't choose it, but no, I'm not against it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Go ahead again, Attorney Haas.
Thanks. I was just going to say part of the thinking might have been, the board is going to create this list. So, the reference letters could be of some value to the board to decide whether the attorney has the qualifications to be on the list. I think that's completely up to the board, whether you think that's would be of some value. in addition to maybe having them available to the complainants, whether it needs to be, I don't remember, was it three reference letters that were requested or just one in that document?
It doesn't actually ask for reference letters, just references.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe if it's, you know, if it's references, you know, I didn't talk to Andy about this, but it, you know, one I thought might be the independent monitor could contact a reference or two to sort of screen those attorneys for the board when the board's considering whether an attorney should be on the list. But again, it's up to the board what you think is valuable or would be helpful in creating the list.
Thank you, Mike. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I would just like to volunteer to do as Mike is saying. You know, being an attorney myself, like I can probably, you know, talk shop with them and make sure that everybody is on the same page. Obviously, if Josh would like to help out, I would greatly appreciate more eyes on the matter. But in general, I can put together like some degree of screening and bring that like the applicants to the board for the creation of the list. And I can also invite them to like then also come to the meeting so that the board can meet them as well. And, you know, we can have a kind of interview process that way as well.
Yeah, we didn't develop a process for, you know, once we gather this, we just really wanted to present this to the community and start recruiting attorneys and then possibly develop, you know, who will be checking references, if we'll be checking references, if we want to meet people, so on and so forth. That part of the procedure hasn't been developed, but we felt it was very important to at least get an application out and get the word out to the community that we're in the process of developing this, because this is a huge part of starting our complaint process. We can't start taking complaints if we don't have any attorneys to be able to refer our complainants to. So they kind of go hand in hand, and there were things that we had to just continue working on. So, but I really appreciate your input, Attorney Hargrove. I would hate for us to see people leave. But I do think that it would be really potentially very helpful to the board or to the IM in terms of, you know, follow up and, you know, adding people to that list. So we're not, again, to clarify, we're not asking for letters of reference so that they have to go out and ask for people to write letters for them. We're only asking for them to list people who will, you know, vouch for them. So. Any more input? So I think since we've had discussion, we've had, we should take a vote. If anyone is not in favor of passing the motion to adopt the letter, please raise your hand. Seeing no hands raised, this application letter has been adopted unanimously. Sitting right, if my computer's close, then the sun doesn't shine in my camera. If I put it away, then it's shining in my camera. So now for... closed session. When the Police Civilian Oversight Board considers the following matter, it may go into closed session pursuant section 19.851C Wisconsin Stats, which reads as follows: considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. If the PCOB does go into closed session, notice is hereby given pursuant section 19.852 that we may reconvene in open session without waiting 12 hours. We will not be reconvening. We will be leaving from the closed session. And then we need a motion to go into closed session. Yesenia?
I'll make a motion to go into closed session.
Thank you, Yesenia. Carlotta?
I second the motion to go into closed session.
Thank you very much, Carlotta. And I don't think that we need to take a vote. Thank you, everyone else, for joining.